Blog Talk Radio.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known.
In season chapter 2, the Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as a fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They longed for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father, clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me. Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. And as one is drawn to behold Jesus uplifted on the cross, he discerns the sinfulness of humanity. He sees that it is sin which scourged and crucified the Lord of glory. He sees that while he has been loved with unspeakable tenderness, his life has been a continual scene of ingratitude and rebellion. He has forsaken his best friend and abused heaven's most precious gift. He has crucified to himself the Son of God afresh and pierced anew that bleeding and stricken heart. He is separated from God by a gulf of sin that is broad and black and deep, and he mourns in brokenness of heart. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt that we may flee to Christ and through him be set free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. In true contrition we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. The Savior's words have a message of comfort to those who are suffering affliction or bereavement. Our sorrows do not spring out of the ground. God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of men. When he permits trials and afflictions, it is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If received in faith, a trial that seems so bitter and hard to bear will prove a blessing. The cruel blow that blights the joys of earth will be the means of turning our eyes to heaven. How many there are who would never have known Jesus had not sorrow led them to seek comfort in him. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. Their hewing, squaring, and chiseling, their burnishing and polishing is a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel, but the stone is brought forth prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. Our Heavenly Father is never unmindful of those whom sorrow has touched. When David went up the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and he went barefoot, the Lord was looking pityingly upon him. David was clothed in sackcloth and his conscience was scourging him. The outward signs of humiliation testified of his contrition. In tearful, heartbroken utterances, he presented his case to God, and the Lord did not forsake his servant. Never was David nearer to the heart of infinite love than when, conscience smitten, he fled for his life from his enemies, who had been stirred to rebellion by his own son. The Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Christ lifts up the contrite heart and refines the mourning soul until it becomes his abode. But when tribulation comes upon us, how many of us are like Jacob? We think it the hand of an enemy, And in the darkness we wrestle blindly until our strength is spent and we find no comfort or deliverance. To Jacob, the divine touch at break of day revealed the one with whom he had been contending, the angel of the covenant. And weeping and helpless, he fell upon the breast of infinite love to receive the blessing for which his soul longed. We also need to learn that trials mean benefit and not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of him. Happy is the man that God correcteth. He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. To every stricken one, Jesus comes with the ministry of healing. The life of bereavement, pain, and suffering may be brightened by precious revealings of his presence. God would not have us remain pressed down by dumb sorrow with sore and breaking hearts. He would have us look up and behold his dear face of love. The blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears they do not discern him. He longs to clasp our hands, to have us look to him in simple faith, permitting him to guide us. His heart is open to our griefs, our sorrows, and our trials. He has loved us with an everlasting love and with loving kindness compassed us about. We may keep the heart stayed upon him and meditate upon his loving kindness all the day. He will lift the soul above the daily sorrow and perplexity into a realm of peace. Think of this, children of suffering and sorrow, and rejoice in hope. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The ills we see, the mysteries of sorrow deep and long, the dark enigmas of permitted wrong have all one key. This strange, sad world is but our Father's school. All chance and change his love shall overrule. What though today thou canst not trace at all the hidden reason for his strange dealings through the trial season, trust and obey. In afterlife and light all shall be plain and clear. Blessed are they also who weep with Jesus in sympathy with the world's sorrow and in sorrow for its sin. In such mourning there is intermingled no thought of self. Jesus was the man of sorrows, enduring heart anguish such as no language can portray. His spirit was torn and bruised by the transgressions of men. He toiled with self-consuming zeal to relieve the wants and woes of humanity. And his heart was heavy with sorrow as he saw multitudes refuse to come to him that they might have life. All who are followers of Christ will share in this experience. As they partake of his love, they will enter into his travail for the saving of the lost. They share in the sufferings of Christ, and they will share also in the glory that shall be revealed. One with him in his work, drinking with him the cup of sorrow, they are partakers also of his joy. It was through suffering that Jesus obtained the ministry of consolation. In all the affliction of humanity, he was afflicted. And in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In this ministry, every soul that has entered into the fellowship of his sufferings is privileged to share. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The Lord has special grace for the mourner, and its power is to melt hearts, to win souls. His love opens a channel into the wounded and bruised soul and becomes a healing balsam to those who sorrow. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Blessed are the meek. Throughout the Beatitudes there is an advancing line of Christian experience. Those who have felt their need of Christ, those who have mourned because of sin and have sat with Christ in the school of affliction, will learn meekness from the divine teacher. Patience and gentleness under wrong were not characteristics prized by the heathen or by the Jews. The statement made by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he was the meekest man upon the earth would not have been regarded by the people of his time as a commendation. It would rather have excited pity or contempt. But Jesus places meekness among the first qualifications for his kingdom. In his own life and character, the divine beauty of this precious grace is revealed. Jesus, the brightness of the Father's glory, thought it not a thing to be grasped, to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Through all the lowly experiences of life, he consented to pass, walking among the children of men, not as a king to demand homage, but as one whose mission it was to serve others. There was in his manner no taint of bigotry, no cold austerity. The world's Redeemer had a greater than angelic nature, yet united with his divine majesty were meekness and humility that attracted all to himself. Jesus emptied himself, and in all that he did, self did not appear. He subordinated all things to the will of his Father. When his mission on earth was about to close, he could say, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And he bids us, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let self be dethroned and no longer hold the supremacy of the soul." He who beholds Christ in his self-denial, his lowliness of heart, will be constrained to say, as did Daniel when he beheld one like the sons of men, "My comeliness was turned in me into corruption." The independence and self-supremacy in which we glory are seen in their true vileness as tokens of servitude to Satan. Human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest. But he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Then we are not anxious to have the highest place. We have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice. But we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. We look to Jesus, waiting for His hand to lead, listening for His voice to guide. The Apostle Paul had this experience, and he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." When we receive Christ as an abiding guest in the soul, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Savior's life on earth, though lived in the midst of conflict, was a life of peace. When angry enemies were constantly pursuing him, he said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." No storm of human or satanic wrath could disturb the calm of that perfect communion with God. And he says to us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Bear with me the yoke of service for the glory of God in the uplifting of humanity, and you will find the yoke easy and the burden light." It is the love of self that destroys our peace, while...
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Let us start with a word of prayer, please. Kind and loving Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that we can come together on this prayer line, Father, and still worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Please help us. Please forgive us of our sins or trespasses, Lord, whatever we have done, Father, that has caused a reproach on your name, whatever we have said that was not according to your will. We ask for forgiveness of sins and trespasses, O Lord. Help us, Father, as we gather here. May we be unified with me. May we be on one accord, Lord, coming together to testify of your goodness, to pray, to lift up our brothers and sisters,
to afflict our soul, Father, at this trying time. And let not this be the only time that we're afflicting our soul, that those that are fasting is fasting, we're weeping between the porch and the altar. But may this be a lifestyle, a continuous thing between each and every one of us, Lord, as we gather together and as we are with our friends and family and worshiping and praying or even by ourselves, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have worship you and to talk of your goodness, to magnify your name, to encourage each other, Lord, because we know there's coming a time soon that we will not be able to meet on this prayer line, Father. We will be scattered, Father. Help us, O Lord. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us, but restore to us your salvation, Lord. Bless each and every one that's on now, Lord. Bless your family, Lord, in a marked way, Lord, and bless those that will be joining us. Haste to their footsteps, Father, even the speaker that will be speaking, O Lord. Fill him with your spirit, Lord. Help him to bring the message that we need, the present truth, Lord, as we see that the world is full of fear of what is going on now, Lord. But this is no surprise to you, Lord. Help us, Father, to trust in you. Help us, Father, to look unto you, which is the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening. I just want to welcome each and every one of you. And please go ahead and press 1 if you have a testimony, a prayer request, or a scripture reading, word of encouragement, or something taken from your devotion, throughout the week. So press 1 so that I can open your line. And I would like to share 2 Chronicles, and I'll start at verse 13. And it reads, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I'll start at verse 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I'll start at verse 13. And it reads, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence amongst my people, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Amen. So the Lord said, if we turn from our wicked, if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. He's in heaven. He will hear us in heaven, and he will forgive our sins and heal our land. Pray, to the Lord for healing and protection of his people. Amen. Again, if you have a testimony or prayer request, please press 1. And I will open Sister Powell line. I'm co-hosting with her this evening. Amen. And I will open her line. Powell, your line is not opening.
Okay, Sister Carla, thank you for opening my line, and thank you for the patience, Sister Carla. We're trying all our best. I was even trying to get on this line, and several phone I use, and I couldn't get on. So I just want to thank you for vision, and also thank God for what the Lord have been doing for us, brothers and sister. I know Sister Carla welcome you all on the line tonight, and we are asking you guys to share so that we will able to, get off the line early, that we can get some rest. So this evening I'm asking you, as we are actually on a late start, if you could press 1 so that your line will be open. We all welcome you on the line tonight, and we ask you to share.
Amen.
I do have someone that has pressed one, and just want to remind the brothers and sisters that Brother Mozart will be on about 8 or a little after 8, depends on the testimony and the prayer, and he will bring us a short message. So, amen. I'll go ahead and open the line for 225-337. Your line is now open.
Amen. Good evening, sisters and brothers. I just want to thank the Lord for this prayer line. Thank Sister Carla for opening this line, because I tried to help Sister Power, and my computer is shut down also. So I just want to give God thanks for the prayer line, and also I like to share scripture. And as Sister Power hosts this prayer line, I'm asking the Lord to be with her and everybody on the prayer line. So as brothers and sisters, I like to read from John chapter 10. The verse comes from John chapter 14 and verse 21. And verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me, and that he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And the prophecy speaks, and it shows John 14 and 21, it says, God loved the obedient as his own son. The believer may bear the testimony in his life and character that God loved the human agent who obeys his commands as he loved his son. How amazing is this statement, almost beyond the comprehensive of the finite and mind. So I just want to praise God for giving us this word, brothers and sisters, because when I, through this word, I learned to be obedient, and even to God, Holy Spirit, also help us to learn obedience. And I just want to thank God for his Holy Spirit and for his word, and especially for his son coming here to teach us and to be that example for us. And as we are all on this prayer line, we are testifying of his goodness and what he has done for us. So I want to give God thanks tonight. Thank God for Sister Carla obedience, for opening the line when no one else can. And praise God that we can, by God's grace, get another computer or iPad so we can help. And by God's grace, I would like to get another one. So just pray that someone else can get iPads and help on this prayer line, that we may do God's will. Thank you, brothers and sisters. And Sister Carla, I can offer a prayer later, Sister Powell, if you would open my line. Amen?
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for reading about John and for us to be obedient to his will, that we can follow his commandment. Because he said to us, we have to keep his commandment to be faithful to him. And we, as we have been studying about obedience to God and also in his commandment, it allows us to see the character of Christ and what he have given unto us, so that we will able to be faithful to him. And we know we cannot do it alone. We have to depend upon the Lord. So I want to thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing, and also to be willing to pray later on for us. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Can you read a scripture passage or a song, your experience today? Out there, your brothers and sisters who call may be in fear, and you was able to comfort them by some good words of encouragement and some of the promises that Jesus have given unto us. Can you press number one so that the line will be open? Yes, brothers.
Amen, amen.
Okay.
No one has pressed one as yet, but I'll like to share, Sister Powell. I'm just thanking the Lord for his goodness, his mercy. It was Monday. It was last year, November. I was supposed to get my my AC fixed, my AC unit. So someone came out to look at it, you know, was a brother. He came out to look at it, and he told me, okay, I need this to get the Freon and something else, and he was charging me $350. I was like, wow. So I let it go. I was looking for, the, you know, trying to buy the parts so it wouldn't be that much. So I just let it go because winter, you know, came. But I was trying to, you know, I guess thought it was going to be cheaper at that time trying to fix an AC. So just recently a realtor told me about someone she knows that does a really well, good job. So I called him last week, and he made an appointment and came out Monday. And he fixed it. It was some wire problem. He said there were enough Freon in there. I didn't need to get the other part that the guy had told me about, and he fixed it. He turned it on, and I was like, wow, Lord, look at that. And the kicker is he only charged me $108. I was just thanking the Lord. I was just praising the Lord. I said, thank you, Jesus. And I, you know, gave him a little tip for lunch. He didn't want to take it. I said, here, this is for lunch. Then at that time, he was leaving, and I was looking to see what book I had. I had the Ten Commandments twice removed, and he was, you know, a little resistant. He's like, well, you know, I don't, you know, it's okay. I don't really take book. And I was like, this is a good book, you know, to help you with what's going on and, you know, teach you more about God's words and things that have been taken out and, you know, different things. And he said, well, okay, I'm up for a good reader. And he was telling me about a movie. I guess it was a movie, you know, Hollywood. We know Hollywood movies not good, where someone was playing Jesus and was coming upon this earth and in different part of the earth and healing and doing miracle. And he said, hey, and his wife watched it, and it was really good. And I started to tell him about, yes, Jesus will come back, but the thing is his feet will not touch the earth. And I, you know, went in to explain more to him. And he was listening, and, you know, and I just, Mr. Owen, his last name, I just wanted to pray that the Holy Spirit will lead him to search the Bible and search for truth and, you know, not through Hollywood or through movies, but search the word for himself. So I was just thanking the Lord and, you know, praising the Lord for to be able to witness to him. And then I just want to share. Amen. Psalms 34, until someone press 1, Psalms 34, and I'll start at verse 17, Psalms chapter 34, verse 17. It says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hear it and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So let us trust in the Lord, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carlo, for that testimony. God was really listening to your plea, from $300 to $108. That is that God worked that miracle for you, Sister Carlo, and we just have to, you know, praise him. And just wait, you know, this was the time that the Lord said at that time. It wasn't that time. It was your timing, but it wasn't God's timing. So we just want to thank God for his mercies and his blessings that he have been pouring out. And again, with that same individual, look, he came right in your home that you could present, you know, the word to him. So we just hope and pray that owing the book that you gave him, that he will go and study himself and, you know, pray that the Lord will use him to share. So thank you again, Sister Carlo. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are asking you to press number one so that your line will be open. And this morning I was reading, You know, brothers and sisters, when we do read the Word of God, sometimes it just pop up, and when we do read the Word of God, it points us up out and shows us how Christ loves us so much. And even during this crisis that we are in right now, where the world is, we have to say they are fearful. Everywhere you go, people are fearful. But we just want to thank God for his promises, because he shows us it. He told us that these things will happen, and it will allow us at this time that we can go out to help others, to let them know that we have a Savior who is there, ready to take us and to make, he is making the way for us, and he just wants us to be faithful to him. And this is Revelation 22. This is my favorite scripture passage, verse. And, you know, sometimes when I look and see what the Lord has put for us, I can say that he loves us so much. It's yes, there is anyone else on the line before I read? If there is
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes, brothers and sisters. So I will read Revelation 22, a few verses, and we can just share with it. It said here, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, and that river of water was clear like as crystal, proclaiming out of the throne of God. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." Brothers and sisters, the Lord is showing us a glimpse of his power, glimpse of his love towards us. And he's also showing us that, you know, Christ, as he is the heavenly teacher. And, you know, when he leads his people to the tree of life that grows on either side, could not, it said here, the tree of life that grows on either side of the river of life, and he will explain to them the truth they could not in this life understand. And in that future life, his people will gain a higher education and of its completeness. So God is sure is teaching us as the master teacher what will be in store for his children. And if we, and if he has that great love for us, dear, that we know that he is the tree of life, he is the heavenly tree of life, you know, so we have to follow his love, follow his blessing, and also be obedient, as we heard listen a while ago with Sister Leola, with his commandment that he has given unto us, so that we can follow his commandment, do his commandment, share it to others, so that we will able to enjoy some of that wonderful water of life, and also to be there, dear God, that we can enjoy that tree that bears so many fruits, right? And now he wants us to bear these fruits in our life, in our personal life. You know, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of loving our brothers or sisters, the fruit of not being obedient, the fruit of not being sinning. He wants us to represent him in everything we do. So I thank God for his word. And you know what? And especially the sick. He said, and I am saying, oh, there won't be any sickness there, because he told us there will be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. So why the leaf of that tree is going to be for the healing of the nation? You know what? Right now, our soul need to be healed, brothers and sisters, right? This is the time when I look on the things that is happening and look upon we, look on myself, and I'm pointing on my hand. So we ask each one of us to point their finger on themselves, look upon this heart. The Lord want our heart to be to reform, transformation. The Lord want us to have a new heart. The Lord want us, Lord, his children, that he loves so much, that he want us to be able to share his word and to represent him in everything we do and everywhere we go. So I just thankful for his word of encouragement. And he said, and at 3 said, the eternal dominion of the saint, and there shall be no more curse, I said, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. So, brothers and sisters in Advent Light Proline, we want to thank God that God gave us these wonderful promises. And my prayers for each and every one of us who join night upon night here, listening to the word of God, listening to the health message, listening to the prophecy, the great controversy class, listen to brothers and sisters' testimony and experiences that they have with the Lord. Listen how God pour out blessings upon us, Lord, because we can see the blessings each moment, you know, and see all what God have done for us. So God wants us to share this. We are not supposed to be the one complaining and murmuring. And if we follow the life that Christ lived, and he told us that we have to follow his life. So brothers and sisters, I will just pause there and just give the opportunity to my brothers and sisters that they may press number one so that they can share their testimony. Is there anyone else?
No. Again, brothers and sisters, we have a few, more than 6-7 people on the line. So this is the time for you to share or offer a word of prayer or ask for a prayer request at this time to pray for our brothers and sisters, your home, your friends. This is sharing time, brothers and sisters. We have to be bold. Amen. And we have to, yes, we have to encourage each other. We are at a time right now, it seems like a little peace. So, you know, as we come together and unify, we have to be bold and we have to encourage each other and be, you know, be able to speak and bring the word of God, the testimonies of God, that whatever he has done for you. So don't be shy. Please press 1 on your telephone keypad so that I can open your line so you can present before the speaker comes on about 8 o'clock. Amen?
Okay.
Amen, amen, amen. I have someone who pressed 1-225-364. Thank you for pressing 1. Your line is now open.
And
amen.
Hello, my name is
yes.
Betty Moore, and I just want to thank the Lord for being on the prayer line myself, and I asked the prayer line to pray for me and my family. And also, I would like to give a little testimony. Since this virus crisis has taken place, and you know, people are panicking, and some people don't know what they're going to do and all of that, but the devil was trying to put fear in me, but I wasn't going to let it happen. You know, the president said that no person cannot be evicted or put out of the house. So my prayer request was that my landlord, he was kind of getting a little leery about this virus and everything. And it's almost like she was saying that, you know, I paid the rent, but she's waiting on next month's rent. And I told her, I said, well, this month is not out yet, so I don't need to pay you until the first of the month, like I always do. But anyway, she was saying that she didn't know how everything was going to pan out and that she wanted her money now for next month. And I just prayed and I said, well, Lord, I don't have her money for next month right now. I'll have it when next month comes. And it's almost like she was trying to threaten me to put me out or something like that, but she couldn't do that. But I just pray and ask God to give me peace and give me favor with her and tone her down and everything. And so I talked to her last night,
And I tell you, she was a totally different person when I spoke to her. And she was so loving, so kind, and she was telling me today, said, Miss Betty, don't even worry about your rent right now. It's not, your rent not due till next month. And I don't know why I was harassing you for a next month rent when the rent wasn't even due. So I just give God the glory because I just give him the glory because
praise the Lord.
He does all things well. The devil's trying to make me discouraged, but I wasn't discouraged. I wasn't, because I stood my ground and I knew I was in right. So I wasn't worried about it, you know, because my faith is grounded and rooted in Christ, and I know the Lord was going to take care of me and my two children, and I wasn't worried about being put out or whether to stay here. I wasn't worried about it. So God gave me peace.
Amen.
In Isaiah 26:3-4, he said he would keep us in perfect peace when we keep our minds steadfast on him. You know, and if we trust in him, you know, we ain't got to fear what man may do to us. We fear God, but don't fear man. So that's what I did.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Moore, for sharing that testimony, you know. Meanwhile, she was enraged. The Lord was talking to her heart, and you look at it, and you saw how God have touched her heart so that she came down so calm, so kind, so loving that she could face you and said, you know, she didn't know what she was doing because that wasn't the time. It wasn't that time yet that the rent was due. So, you know, God do all these things, and brothers and sisters, he told us his promise. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you even to the end. So he promised, brothers and sisters, and promised us, you know, that he will take care of his children. So thank you for sharing that testimony. God is good, and we will lift her up in prayer so that, you know, the Lord will continue to speak to your landlord's heart. Yes, brothers and sisters, we would like you to share. 5 said, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle. That is John, this is Revelation 22, verse 5. Brothers and sisters, that place that the Lord gone to prepare for us, there will be no night. There will be nothing for us to fear about. There will be no virus running up and down. There will be no shutdown. It said, and there shall be no night there, and we need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, Advent Light Prayer Line, we know we all want to enjoy that paradise that the Lord has in place for us. So this is the time for us to afflict our soul to him. This is the time that we have to come boldly to the throne and give him everything, because, dear God, we know what this crisis is going to bring on us, and we want to be strong. We want to be faithful and to be obedient and to trust God that he is able to take us through. Anyone else would like to share before 8 o'clock, right? We want to go in prayer, Sister Carla. Anyone else?
Amen. No one else has pressed 1 at this time. Again, brothers and sisters, please press 1 if you like to share. I think Sister Leola pressed 1. I believe she's ready to do prayer or to share. Okay, so no one else has pressed 1. I'll go ahead and open the line for Sister Leola. Your line is open now.
Amen. Amen. I want to try to attempt to sing a song that we sang this morning. It says, "Kiss the blessing hour of prayer." Oh Lord, be with me, Father. "Tis the blessed hour of prayer when our hearts are lowly bent, and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to him in faith, His protection to share. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed our prayer. Blessed our prayer. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Tis the blessed hour of prayer. When the Savior draws near with a tender compassion, his children to hear. When he tells us we may cast at his feet every care. What a balm for the weary, oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed our prayer, blessed our prayer. What a balm for the weary, oh, how sweet to be there. I'm going to do the last sentence, brothers. At the blessing hour of prayer, trusting in him we believe that the blessing we're needing we'll surely receive. In the fullness of this trust, we lose every care. What a balm for the weary. Oh,
how sweet,
sweet
to be there.
Blessed our prayer. Blessed our prayer. What a balm
for the weary.
Oh,
how
sweet
to
be
there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
As the Lord
hour of prayer.
So, sisters and brothers, let us pray. Oh, Father, as we come to thee, Lord, sweet hour of prayer. Oh, Father, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Father, we come to thee at this hour. Heavenly Father, we come asking you, dear Lord, to search our hearts, to look in our hearts, Lord. If there be any sin in us, Lord, we please ask that you cast it in the sea of forgiveness. Heavenly Father, as I read earlier, Lord Father, you want us to be obedient to your commands. And Heavenly Father, we also ask that you continue to help us to love one another and to help one another, because the Bible says that no man had laid down his life. Forgive me, I need to get the scripture, because this scripture is very important to me. He said that, I need to get this scripture for us, sisters and brothers, because I had this scripture, because I want to remember everything. Greater love had no man than this, than a man lay his life down for a friend. And Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you tonight, that everyone on this prayer line, Father, Lord, that we come to you, Lord, asking you, Father, to be with our sisters and brothers on this prayer line, and that each and every one of us, Lord, bring a prayer for my sisters and brothers, those that have not been on this prayer line, Lord, because we are in such a time as this, Lord, and fear and all sorts of things going on, Lord. But, Lord, Father, you have given your children you said the word that we are not to fear, but have a power and love and a sound mind. Father, I want to thank you for giving us the word of God. And, Lord, when you give us the word, Lord, we ought to share this word with other people. As I hear so many brothers and sisters sharing this gospel with people around the world, and the fear and the comfort come over them, and then they fear no more. Lord, Father, I just pray and lift up all the people that's in this world, Lord, and keep them, Father, that they don't fear, knowing that Jesus is our Savior, and He died for his blood, Lord, we ought to come to him in prayer and ask that Jesus continually to be with all in our family, Lord Father, because we truly need to seek you and even tell the people in the world, if you just go to Christ in prayer and if you seek him and if you pray to him and talk to him, he will help you. He will turn you from all the sins and then begin to sit with you and talk with you. So, Father, we just thank you for your son, Lord, because you say your son, if we have the Father, we have Jesus. And Jesus say your Father and my Father, he love us and he will care for us. And, Lord, Father, we just thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy that you have bestowed upon us. Now, Lord, as we lift up the prayer line to you, Father, all the requests that has been made, Lord, Father, you heard them one by one, Lord. Father, we ask that you answer according to your will. And, Father, we pray for the speaker on the prayer line tonight, Lord. We ask that you touch his heart and ask that you also be with him, Lord, Father, as he teach your word, Lord. And we ask you to hide him behind the cross, Lord, that we hear your words and not man's words. But, Lord, when we preaching and teaching from this Bible, Jesus, this is your word. It's not from no man, but it's from God himself. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. You said as your Father send the Holy Spirit down here to us to teach us and lead us and guide us in all things. So, Heavenly Father, we just praise you tonight and thank you for all your blessing that you bestowed upon us, Lord. Opening this prayer line, blessing Sister Carla with her testimony that she was blessed to get someone out to help her with her air condition, and blessing Sister Betty with her situation, Lord, because of the fear her landlord went through. But, Lord, you calmed her down. So, Lord, we lift her up to you and that, Lord, you will provide. As many people, Lord, is in this situation. And, Father, we know that you will provide. Lord, you say you use the foolish things to confound the wise. And maybe what's going on in this foolish world, the Lord have given man a rest, and a rest that we should study his word, a rest that we should draw closer to him and to know him and to seek his face, Lord. Lord, you give man a month. And, Lord, Father, if we don't take advantage of this Bible in this time, Lord, all this going to come back to us in judgment. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we may get to know Jesus and that we may study Jesus and that we may take Jesus at his word, Lord, Father, and help us and give us strength as your Holy Spirit is down here moving, Lord, amongst your people. Lord, to go out and preach this gospel and share with people. And, Lord, they are so receptive right now because you said the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. So, Lord, your harvest is ready and that we ought to be out there planting the seeds according to your will. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your mighty word because this word is like fire, fire shut up in my bones. Lord, Father, that I can't keep it to myself. So, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your blessing and for what you've given to your people. Because right now is the time, Lord, that people are ready to receive it and not rejecting your word. So thank you, Father. Bless this prayer line tonight. And, Lord, give us a word that we need in our heart, in our mind, and to help us, Lord, to also prepare for your coming. Lord, I pray a blessing upon the study that we supposed to have on Wednesday, Lord, one on Sabbath, this message that we're going to have on Sabbath, Lord, all these messages are preparing us, Lord, for your coming. So, Lord, we thank you tonight. And, Father, continue to bless this prayer line. Continue to bless each and every minister and every soul that's here listening on this prayer line. We thank you, Father. In your son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Leola, for that prayer. And I do know that God is here on this land amongst his children. And brothers and sisters, and Advent Light. I just want to thank everyone who joined, who listen, who share, and also our listener viewers on the internet. We just want to let you know that we appreciate your viewing, and we are asking you to, you know, the Lord move your heart. You can call, you can ask for prayer, and there will be someone here. There will he open their heart door so that they can present the word to you. So, brothers and sisters, the next voice you will hear is our speaker, and I'm asking you, please, Brother Mose, and I'm asking you, please, to get your Bible, your tablets, and also your pen, so that you can take down notes that we can go back to search like the Bereans. Thank you again, and God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Your line is open, Brother Mozart.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. It is a joy again to be with you all on the line tonight, and I'm praying that, you know, you are well by everyone that is within hearing to salvation. Please be with us. There is not a better time for us to feel that you are with us. It is not a better time for us to know that you are with us. But thank you for listening. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Of the end of churches as we know them. This is the beginning of the end of the way church has been conducted. Broad message. The Seventh-day Adventist message is broad, is comprehensive, and it is a complete message. It is a complete message, and we are about to witness the deficiency in the way that we have been taught. But we are not to fear. We are not to be afraid, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. He tells us in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. He's given us a spirit of power to be like from now on. And right now we are quarantined in our homes. We cannot meet in our regular settings because the world deemed it so. But the Lord knew. He foreknew there was a time would come that would force us to know we were to be isolated singularly, that we would be able to preach this message, even if it took just one person. Wherever you are weak. We are required to be able to give a reason for your faith. You are required to give a reason for your faith. While the world is freaking out about to go to work, not be able to go to, not even be able to go to the movies, they can go to their, you know, to the stadiums, which is their equivalent of church, because it's all about revelry in the world. It's all about play. It's all about, you know, debauchery. Well, now everybody has to sit back and reassess, what have we been doing with time? What have we been doing with our time? Commodity known to mankind. It is the only currency. Once you spend it, you cannot ask for a refund. So you better be careful how you spend it. And now everyone is being forced to reassess how they have been using time. Like I said, the title of our message tonight is Preparing for the Crisis. Preparing for the Crisis. What is what is this crisis that we're talking about? What is about to happen? Because we read that once the national standard law comes, it will come because of an image that will be erected. And the image will be erected with the help of apostate Protestantism, Africa being the leading nation of the free world. Then national apostasy will lead to national ruin, will lead to global ruin. So what are we supposed to do to prepare for this crisis? So we know that in Daniel 12 verse 1, that we are about to meet a time in terms of intensity of evil. So if there is going to be a time where people, that there's going to be so much perplexity and so much fear around the world, then that means that there must be, there are a group of people that will personify this force, this counteracting power that will meet the crisis that has never been recorded in the history of human civilizations. And how are these people going to prepare? In 17. And we go on saying, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3, verse 1. And you'll find this from Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 367, paragraph 2. And that is under the chapter, Preparing for the Final Crisis. My brother, as I've already established, that the crisis that we're about to meet, my brother, I'm reading this because I want to bring to the forefront why we are it disrupts the flow of society. It's everybody's just asking questions. What is going on? What is this going to lead to? My brothers and sisters, whatever we see happen on this earth is an indication of something that is happening in heaven. Whatever we see happening on this earth, it is an indication of movements happening in heaven. Like this. God is acquainted with every man. Could our eyes be opened, we would see that eternal justice is at work in our world, a powerful influence not under man's control is working. Man may fancy that he is directing matters, but there are higher than human influences at work. But know that he is working to counteract Satan's plans. Those who know not God cannot comprehend his movements. There is at work a wheel within a wheel. We can find that in Ezekiel chapter 1, when talking about a wheel within a wheel, I encourage you all to read the first chapter of Ezekiel. The whole chapter. When talking about a wheel within a wheel, you can start from verse 12, 13, 14, 15, and even 16. The whole chapter will do you good. So, is at work a wheel within a wheel. Apparently, the complication of machinery is so intricate that man can see only a complete entanglement. But the divine hand, as seen by the prophet Ezekiel, is placed upon the wheels, and every part moves in complete harmony, each doing its specified work, yet with individual freedom of action. That is found in Manuscript 13, 1898. My brothers and sisters, why am I seeing all this? And why? What does that have to do with preparing for the final crisis? Preparing for the final crisis is that right now, the human race has been handcuffed. I don't know how many of you have ever been, ever had the experience of having, of being handcuffed. I have not been handcuffed, but I heard that people that have been handcuffed, they say that when you are handcuffed, the more you move, the tighter the cuffs get. So this is where we are. We have been handcuffed by the enemy. And the more we headed, the showdown on Mount Carmel. So there must be a group of people ready to meet this crisis. And as I read in Matthew 9, verses 16 and 17, in order for us to meet this crisis, to meet sin at its toughest, to meet sin at its total manifestation, we must be totally imbued by the Holy Spirit. And in order for us to be imbued, to be totally imbued by the Holy Spirit must find residence in our human bodies, in our mortal bodies, in our minds. But the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in, can make our election sure, as 2 Peter 1 verse 10 says. It is not time for us to be watching the news, you know, all day and eating and drinking. No. The Lord allowed things to happen the way that they are happening so that we can find time to spend with Him. And that we can make room. We can, as 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Let's go there. Just to make sure. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? My brother, this time that we have is to reacquaint ourselves with Jesus Christ. Is to refine our relationship with Him, is to ask Him for the desire to want to know Him more and more, and to ask Him to look into our hearts and to see whether there are things in our constitution, in our physical constitution, in our bodies, not in our minds, that do not align with His government. Paragraph from Selected Messages, page 367, paragraph 2. Because the Holy Spirit is the teacher, that He will lead us to all truth, even those things that are in us that do not belong in heaven. He will be the one. In John 16, verse 8, He says that He is the one to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when we spend time in prayer and asking God, is there anything in me that will not align with your kingdom? Because what we are about to meet, this crisis that we're about to meet, in order for us to meet it, we must be the embodiment of the Holy Spirit. We must be the residence for the Holy Spirit, for the latter rain to fill us up so that we can meet this crisis. Because no flesh can meet this crisis. This is why we are about to see a carnage. We are about to see a carnage not only in the world, but also in our churches, because professed Christians do not even know what is about to happen. We are witnessing a coup d'etat. we are under a new management. If we look at our president, we see his demeanor has changed. The way he's speaking, the measures that he is taking are not in harmony with the way that he has been doing business. We have been hijacked. Our government has been hijacked, and we are to meet whatever is about to bleed out into the public, preparing for the final crisis. Seventh-day Adventist Christians, do not be surprised. Infected with this virus, it is the same treatment that Seventh-day Adventist Christians will have to face, if not worse. So prepare to meet thy God, as we read in Amos 4 verse 10. Prepare to meet the crisis. Prepare to meet the crisis. All night prayer meetings, praying. All night prayer meetings. We will have to go to that level. We have to have a desperate push for God to work into our minds, into our bodies, to remove all impurities. He says in 1 John 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, give us our sins, and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. My brother, this is the time. This is where we are getting this time. It's not to inconvenience the world. It's God working a wheel within a wheel so that we can spend time with him and asking him to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Because if we are sons of God, we cannot sin. We cannot sin. We cannot sin. We cannot sin. If we have sin in our bodies, it is time for us to surrender to Jesus Christ. Sin does not, is not to go back to heaven. Sin, it will never rise again in the new earth. So we must let it go. We must leave it on this earth. All right? 1 John 4, verse 7 says we are to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That is the only way when we submit ourselves, relinquish self, letting go of sin, and then that's when we will be able to draw nigh to God in verse 8, and he will draw nigh to us, preparing for the final crisis. If we are quarantined, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says that in all things give thanks. We are quarantined. It is time for you to reacquaint yourselves with Jesus Christ. Jonah rebelled against God, and he found himself spending some quality time with Jesus Christ in the belly of a fish. And it is the same thing for us today, my brothers and sisters. All right, this is time for us to enter the Garden of Gethsemane. This is what it is. Church, as we knew it, is no more. It is no more. I'm just going to venture and say that I heard there was a communique put out that at least in the city of Texas, that the Seventh Adventist Church is closed down indefinitely. That's what I hear. I have not confirmed that in the rest of the country or in the rest of the world. Possible indefinitely. Can that be done? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. The devil is trying everything that he can to stem the proclamation of the gospel. He's going against scripture. But the Lord says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, that the things that the words that come gospel, verse 14, we read that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world to serve as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. The devil is trying to buy himself time, because he knows if this gospel message, this everlasting gospel, this three angels message is spread throughout the world, it is done deal for him. And this is why, do not be surprised if the deadliest virus that will be released may not be coming from a lab. It may not be coming from animals, coming from Christianity. And it may be the Seventh-day Adventist movement. My brothers and sisters, prepare. 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 This is all I have to tell you tonight. I pray that you do not find this to be scary, because we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and sound mind, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. If you are cooped up in your home, it is time for you to ask God, give me a love in our life, is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17, verse 3. May the Lord bless you all, and that you reacquaint with the maker of the universe, and that we may be one with him, and that when the world surrenders and time surrenders to eternity, and he says in Matthew 24, verse 35, that heaven and earth shall pass, the word of God shall not pass, and in order for us to sustain the transition from time to eternity, we must be the embodiment of the word of God. And the only way for us to be the embodiment of the word of God is to use time, this time that we have right now. This time that we have right now, stuck in the home without work, and cannot go to the grocery, cannot do anything. It's time to cling to our Bibles, to cling to our hymnals, to cling to prayer, to cling to fasting. Because what we're about to face can only go out only by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, verse 21. So my brothers and sisters, if you've never fasted before, if you've never had an all-night prayer meeting, guess what? This is the time to start. If you don't know how to start, know a brother or sister that has done that before, and then you may start. Because it is narrow, the road that leads to salvation. The Spirit of Prophecy tells us not one in 20. Not one in 20. That is dismal. But if we will, if we give our will to God, he will mesh our will with his, and we will be that one out of 20. So my prayer for you all tonight is to push, as Matthew 9 verse 4 says, that the night is coming. The night is coming where no man can work. So we better work the works that we've been given, for the night coming when no man can work. Well, we work out this relationship. Work it out. Work it out. Father in heaven, we come before you once again, knowing that you give us the best that heaven can have in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as he tells in John 1, verse 29. We are not worthy. We are not deserving of such a gift. And Lord, we cannot wrap our minds around to do a work that angels that excel in strength would love to do, but they cannot do it. You've chosen us mere humans to do it. So Lord, of our own flesh, of our own mind, of our own might, we cannot do it. And this is why we must be in your hands as clay is in the hand of the potter. And Father, we can move forward to vindicate your name before the world and before the universe and repopulate heaven. And this is why the arch enemy is foaming at the mouth against us. He's foaming at the mouth against us on the world stage. He's foaming at the mouth against us in the church, in the home, in the streets, in our very bodies. But Lord, you did tell us in John 16, verse 33, that in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. So Lord, my brothers, Lord, I pray that everyone that is within hearing tonight, that you would cast upon them the knowledge that you will always be with us even to the end of the world, as you tell us in Matthew 28, verse 20. And that whatever it is that we're facing, you will let it happen so that we can prove, you can prove us to be one of your children. Because you only chastise those who you love. See upon us. Have mercy upon the people that are innocent, that have no idea what is about to happen. And I pray, Father, that you place us, I already know that you already placed us strategically around the world for such a time as this. And that when the people come running, calling, that we will be the personification of the bomb in Gilead. Thank you, Father, for this line. And I thank you for everyone that is within here. Thank you for the administrators. Thank you for Sister Carla, Brother Yudi, who's probably traveling at this time with his wife and child. Be with him. Sister Sheldon. Brother O'Neill, you know all the names, you know them, Father, because you have them written in the books of heaven. Whatever it is I was supposed to say that I didn't say, Lord, please put it in. Whatever it is that I said that did not belong, Lord, I pray for forgiveness, and I pray that you will remove them from the air, and you will remove them from the minds of those who heard. This is my prayer. Forgive our sins. And give us a hatred for sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Mose, for presenting this message. And brothers and sisters, tonight, you know, the Lord is ready to pardon and to help us. You know, all we have to do is to trust him as we listen to the message. You know that we have a work to perform. Even though, and in this time, in Psalms 46, it says, God is our refuge and he's in our God is our refuge and strength, and he's a very present help in trouble. So God is there for us, and we have to be obedient to his will. So I just want to thank God for the word, and I do hope that our brothers and sisters took these scripture passage, that they can go and read. We know that the final crisis is near. So I just want to thank you all for joining us tonight, and we are asking you tomorrow night to join us at 7 o'clock. We will be on the line. And brothers and sisters, let not us worry. Let us really trust God and believe fully that he is able to do all things in our life if we just be faithful. And he is there to pardon all our sins, because brothers and sisters, we all have to have yet victory over all sin. So my prayer tonight is to God, for God to pour his blessing. And thank you again, Brother Mozart. God bless, and you have everyone have a blessed night. Bye-bye. Amen.